let's welcome our first guest, the lovely Heidi Hollis again. Hi, Heidi. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself, Jerry?
Yeah, hanging in here pretty well.
Cool.
How's the book doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, why don't you tell the people the exact title of that book again before we do anything else? And I got news of a friend of yours that's listening. I just got an email from.
Oh, okay. Well, it's called The Secret War, The Heavens Speak of the Battles, the subtitle. And it's based on the conflict that's going on between positive and negative alien beings.
And it's available, of course, several places. We have a link to it. And how are you doing? Do you have a website, too? You do, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's at UFO, the number 2, and the letter U.com.
Yeah, I thought we'll get into that a little bit more here in a little bit. First of all, we had an email here, Heidi, before we get into the show. Barbara Zamora is listening in California.
Oh, yeah, I know her.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Yeah.
And so that's good. In fact, we have people listening around the world. You've been pretty busy. I heard a report that you might have been up at Bundy.
Dundee, Wisconsin.
Yeah, right, there for the big UFO party and lookout that you had.
Oh, yeah. We had a very interesting sighting going on there.
Yeah.
Actually hit the main waves, USA Today and everything, so a lot of people picked up on the story. Pretty massive sighting. About 8 unidentified flying objects came overhead, put on a little show for UFO days at Bill Benson's hideaway in Dundee, Wisconsin. So it's pretty interesting stuff.
it sounds interesting. And then I think you've been doing some other things too. Did you go down to Texas last weekend or something?
I was aiming to, but actually that conference got canceled, so
okay.
Didn't have to manage to wiggle down.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to get all the plugs in there. I know you're going to be on television here, at least taking part of that Steven Spielberg series.
Yeah, actually, I just got notification. 12 of us were interviewed for the television show, and only 5 of us actually were going to be chosen for the main segment. And the rest were going to be put on little intermission-type segments on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found out I did not make the main cut, so, oh, well. But I will be in the segments on Sci-Fi Channel, and they are looking to making it into a series, so it may actually show up there. But, it's a documentary that's supposed to precede Steven Spielberg's Taken series. So it's one of the Taken specials.
Uh-huh.
So it should be pretty cool. It's coming on late November.
Well, we'll be looking for you there as well, and a few other things. Even though I think they'll get you in there somehow or another.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to wiggle it in there.
Yeah. Well, good. Okay. what's the latest in your UFO investigations? I'm going to follow up a little bit more about the shadow aliens completely, but I want to find out a little bit more about what's happening with you.
I've just been talking to people here and there about the incidences that were going on in Dundee, Wisconsin. I'm not so much of the technical investigator that a lot of people are. Go out there, measure things, you know, get what everybody's word is on the sightings and such. But there is a site here and a couple of good folks that I know that take care of the UFO sightings here in Wisconsin, which is at UFOWisconsin.com,
mm-hmm.
John and Jenny Hoppe. They do a really great job at keeping everything up to date.
Yeah, we had John on the air here not too long ago.
Oh, yeah, he's a cool guy. But, the main thing that I do, I get a lot of emails from people asking for advice concerning shadow people, whether or not their alien contact is considered positive or negative. So I take a lot of time to get back to folks, and I just recently decided to make the that kind of email a kind of a new website attachment to my UFO2U site called alienadvice.ufo2u.com.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, because I figured, you know, if I could help out a couple of folks here and there, why not try to help out even more?
The Ann Landers of the UFO set.
There you go. Yeah, so
I'm impressed.
I call it kind of a alien advice on Heidi Hollers instead of Hollis. So, just to talk about this stuff, you know, as it is. And I don't know, if I can help out a couple of people to weed out this stuff, I think it's...
Well, so you actually have that many people that say that you're not the only one that's seen these shadow aliens.
Oh, right. I have a lot of people. And not just the shadow aliens, because they're connected with the grays and whatnot, too. So it's so widespread. I just put it all under one scope and go at it. So when people ask me, you know, well, what do you think? You know, this happened, this, and that. And I just take it all as one. I mean, whether they saw a shadow or a gray or even the reptilian. So if it feels nasty, if it feels like a rotten alien in front of you, then I just lump them all into one category.
Now, you're not sure there's any friendly ones?
Oh, there's tons of friendly ones.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that is, you know,
I want to talk about the reptilians and the rest of them here in a moment, but there must be some friendly ones out there.
Oh, gosh, yeah. In fact, you know, I got so tired of hearing about, you know, the grays did this, they did that, and how horrible it was, that it doesn't give a full picture of actually what's going on as a whole with the alien phenomena, because just as, you know, often as I hear these negative contacts, I also hear just as many positive contacts, but that doesn't make Hollywood movies, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't hit the main airwaves, and I think that's a crying shame.
Well, of course, you've got to get somebody pretty soon to say, I fell in love with a little gray guy.
Yeah, you know, all the grays, I can't just lump them all underneath one category. Not all of them are bad, but if they're doing experiments on you, and they're not stopping when you ask them to stop, but then later on, you know, they give you some kind of little reward or something, you know, it's still not good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have like all good vibes and you're being taught more things than anything, you know, and having good conversation, then I would categorize that as a good guy. But it's just a sad situation that a lot of people are having trouble just figuring out which one is good and which one is bad, because so many of these aliens are able to shapeshift to look like another being, and you might have, you know, a little pink guy come into your room one night and he's a friendly alien, and the next night another pink guy comes in the room and you think it was the same one, and it turns out to be one in disguise, one of the negative ones in disguise.
We talked a little bit about that
right.
Before. They actually can assume different shapes?
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. The negative ones do it to deceive. I mean, if you want to come as you are, you don't try to hide who you are. You know, when they shapeshift to make themselves look like a deer, I hear that one a lot, actually, from people, that they were in the woods, they saw a deer with very intense eyes, and suddenly 2 hours are missing, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it's like, you know, they do that to deceive you, to make you think that, well, I guess I was staring at a deer, you know, for a couple hours, so you really can't figure out, you know, what you have here, and that's a huge deceptive device that they use to get people to question themselves and not figure out who's actually behind the different incidences going on.
Let's talk a little bit about your book before we get into many in-depth conversations. Why don't you kind of tell we picked up new listeners from the last time, the mm-hmm. overall thesis of this book and why you wrote it?
Well, I had a lot of memories and contact with different kinds of alien beings, especially I had a very intrusive one that would stop by that were the grays, but I couldn't understand why these guys were never able to outright harm me, touch me, experiment on me, as I'd heard from so many other people. And I'm like, well, gosh, you know, this is strange. And in fact, I was able to respond so directly. I was able to defend myself against these guys, even picking one up and shaking it.
I guess the reaction from the little gray or the little pink guy or whatever he was, mm-hmm. Was complete shock.
Oh, yeah. You know, people say they don't have any kind of expression on their face as well. They had a look of shock on their face for sure when I picked up this one and was shaking it. And actually, there were about 10 of them in my apartment. And I moved around freely and took things from their hands and told them to put this down and to get out. And they were just a little bit stunned, which it was just strange. I was just on automatic mode, didn't think twice. You know, there's something in my apartment, I'm getting rid of it. And it took the whole lot of them to take me down finally. But it was soon after that incident that I started seeing a whole lot more of something I'd run into every once in a while, which were these shadowy figures. And I couldn't understand, you know, what the heck is going on. I'm seeing these very intimidating, threatening, like, dark creatures, you know. And, you know, I personally had started calling them shadow people because I didn't know what else to call them. And this was some time ago. It was like 95, 94, before I'd heard of anyone speak of this. In fact, I'd written this book without anybody ever had spoken about shadow people. I wrote it in 97. And so I really had no clue as to what was going on with this stuff. And I knew I had some kind of connection with aliens, but I didn't know how directly. Just was having this inner voice saying, you know, you probably got something to do with this stuff. But I just, you know, you just put that stuff out of your head. It's like, nah, that couldn't be. But I actually had a friend that started having experiencing a lot of the same things with me, you know, seeing odd things. We lived together for a while, and she started seeing, you know, odd things, different beings and whatnot in the apartment. But she was very much not wanting to admit or commit to the idea that there was something as aliens wandering the universe, I guess, even though she could see them. And because I see these half-transparent, you know, like grays poking their heads through the walls at times. And she'd see them too, you know. I'm like, okay, good. I'm not crazy. We're both artists, so I'd like draw out what I see, and she's drawing what she sees, and they'd coincide. And I'm like, okay. It took a little while that my friend, she finally started getting hip to this idea of there being, you know, actual aliens instead of calling them demons when an alien being jumped on the hood of her car and started speaking to her. And she started asking.
She was driving down the street?
She was driving down the street and continued to drive while this thing was, you know, talking to her. And she said it was the strangest sensation. I automatically started asking this thing questions because it had calmed me down so much. And I started asking it questions. And when it went to respond to me, she said my jaw felt like when I go to the dentist's office, you know, it went numb, and it answered me using my own mouth. And she gets to school. She was totally, you know, kind of, I don't know if she was really upset. She was just kind of freaked out what was going on and called me, was telling, you know, mumbling and crying about something about an alien on the hood of her car and shocking her with some kind of energy while she was in school. And I had no idea what she was talking about, so I kind of rushed down, you know, later after her class, and we went to chat about what she was talking about when she's sitting there describing to me what happened in the day when she suddenly tells me, I don't know, but I have to, like, meditate right now. And I'm like, meditate? I'm like, what? You know, I'm sitting here in this car, and I'm like, should I get out of the car? Should I leave her alone? She goes to meditate, and she's Hispanic. She had a thick accent, but her accent reduced, and she kind of changed her whole persona and says, hello, I've been waiting to speak to you for a very long time. And I'm like, okay, you know, what's going on? Are you pulling my leg? You know, what's going on here? And I said her name, said, no, this is not her. And I said, oh, then who is it? And said, oh, I'm an alien. And I'm like, oh, really? Where are you? You know, it's just kind of calling his bluff, you know. And he's, in a nutshell, he goes, well, can't you see me now? And in between the two of us in the seats, a figure started to form, a kind of pinky, fleshy colored form. And I just, you know, just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I'm like, I think I see something, you know. I'm like backing up, and I'm like, okay, something is really going on here. And that that started the relationship between myself, my friend, and this alien being that at times would talk through her and actually appear.
It was the same one.
Mm-hmm. And his name was Kaft, C-A-F-T-H, and it was just mind blowing. And why I'm covering so much, you know, I'm like, well, goodness, if I'm going to have access to this alien, I'm going to ask every question I could possibly, you know, think to ask, you know.
Okay.
And I covered the whole alien phenomena and the encounters and why strange things seem to happen around me and poltergeist activities and shadows and everything. And that was actually a big portion of my book and why I pursued and felt I had to write that.
We're going to find out a little bit more about what you found out about the aliens when we come back, Heidi.
Okay.
If you have a question for Heidi, email us at jerry@jerrypippin.com. The UFO Files will continue in a moment. Our guest is Heidi Hawks.
Jerry Pippin!
Welcome back to the UFO Files. I'm talking with an interesting person, Heidi Hollis, and she has a book out, and we're talking about her making acquaintances, believe it or not, with an alien being and actually carrying on several conversations. Heidi, I take it this all didn't happen at one time.
Oh, no. No, this took over, quite some time. It started in April of 97, and actually, it continues to this day, actually, whenever we get a chance to chat with him, but it doesn't happen.
Does he just show up unannounced, or?
No, he's never done that. No, it's always whenever is a good time for my friend that talks to him. He's never been pushy, never anything of that sort. I mean, sometimes I can tell myself, I mean, there was actually some form of contact I was having with him when she would talk to him. I could, like, I didn't even know how to describe it, but to say, like, in my mind's eye, I could see him. And I would compare notes and drawings with my friend and say, you know, well, this is what I saw when you were talking to him. And you know, I'd have her draw separate from me, and our drawings would coincide with what I was seeing in my mind and what she was seeing when she was talking to him. So I could tell when he has something important to say or things of that sort. And I'm like, oh my goodness, he's hanging around today, you know? So it's he's pretty passive, pretty much.
And what kind of conversations what'd you talk about?
Oh my gosh, I covered everything from global pollution to why they don't wear clothes very often.
And why don't they wear clothes very often?
Well, you know, for himself, he just preferred not to. Some of the beings do wear clothing, but I don't know if I shared this story with you before, Jerry, but I actually asked him, because he sits on a metal chair, and I've had contact with him outside of, you know, talking through my friend and stuff, and he sits on this metal chair, and I'm like, you know, why do you sit on this metal chair? I mean, don't you tend to stick to your chair, your bottom side? And he said, well, everybody's bottom tends to stick, you know? And I'm like, just nearly rolling, laughing. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, then wouldn't you put some pants on there if you stuck to your seat? But he didn't see the humor in it, and he's just like, okay, you know, he's trying not to be humorous, but he just prefers not to.
Now, when he talks to you, do you hear a voice, or is it the telepathic?
Yeah, telepathic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's telepathic, outright. And
he doesn't have a particular distinctive voice or whatever.
Well, you know what? It's strange, but his thoughts do kind of sort of have a certain vibe to it.
Do they?
Yeah, because he's got a personality, he's got a sense of humor. I find that to be the case for a lot of the more positive alien contact. They have more of a sense of humor. They take note of what we find to be interesting, and watch our TV shows and whatnot. So
when you say a sense of humor, you mean he's full of one-liners or what?
Oh, God, I am not kidding when he's asked me several times to give him human jokes. You know, something that he could tell his friends. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. I don't have anything for you. So sometimes I would just put something really cheesy together and like, oh, how about this? And he's like, okay, that's supposed to be humorous? I, yeah, sure. You know, he'd go and share it with whomever. But, yeah, one-liners, whatever. I mean.
Now, what did you say his name was?
Caff, C-A-F-T-H.
Now, that's an unusual name.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Where's he from?
I have asked him, and actually he said that it's in a place that we really wouldn't be able to point out anyway. So he said, what was the point? He had never bothered to translate it, actually.
It sounds like he should be in politics. He's good at avoiding the subject.
I have asked him a couple of times, you know, in different ways, trying to get the name. And actually, he'd always lived on a ship, so he never really had a
he never had been in a planet.
Well, no, but he had a place of origination that his kind of came from, he said, but he'd always lived on a ship. But and he's not really huge into names. Like, a lot of people have these really airy names that sound kind of whacked, and he doesn't put names to weird things like that. I don't know, because I've heard of something like a Federation of Planets or something like that. I've heard people refer to that, and when I've asked him about that, that's supposed to be some kind of group of positive aliens or something like that that are on a mission to help Earth or something. When I've asked him that name, he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And but when I described it, he's like, oh, yeah. He said, well, you know, some things just are without titles. You know, so, yes, there's something like that. But, you know, that's a human term, you know, things.
Well, how does he get, does he come through walls and things like the rest of them?
Yeah, he's personally, he had not come down here and walked through walls. There are others that do that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But he always stays on his ship. He's got a thing about germs he doesn't really like, so he thinks this is a really germy place. But yeah, so I don't know. He's an interesting character.
So he's the Howard Hughes of the extraterrestrials.
Well, he has a sense of humor as to what he's doing, but his main thing.
I mean, you know, he didn't like germs and.
Right. He really doesn't like germs. But his main thing, whenever he gets onto the topic of why he's here, he's all nuts and bolts and serious. And his big concern is getting people to wake up to the presence that is going on this planet. How we have this huge denial of there being life on other planets that are actually visiting here leaves us at a big disadvantage. And once you're aware of what's here, you're more able to defend yourself. But there's this huge effort to keep everybody in the dark, and it's now becoming a matter of not just life and death, but, you know, soul or no soul. It goes pretty deep. And he actually schooled me on quite a few things that I'd put out of my head for some time, including the fact that there is a place considered like a hell. I put that out of my head a long time ago, that there's no such thing as that. You know, everything is good. God wouldn't put somebody in a place like that. But if you listen to some of the stories that people are talking about in regards to their alien abductions, they're being taken to underground caverns that don't smell very good and often are very hot. especially the reptilian creatures take people there. One young girl that I'd spoken to told me a story about a girl, a hybrid, actually, the way she described. She was about 9 years old. Hybrid girl came through her wall, drug her out of her bed, and she said, who are you? And the girl's like, you have to come with me. And she's like, no, I don't want to go with you. And the girl, to pull her through the wall where the girl had come from, she said, I can't go through the wall. And she said, yes, you can, and yanked her through. And she told me, she's like, Heidi, we're walking down this like tunnel that was dug through the dirt or something. And she said it went on forever and forever, and she told me it smelled like stinky eggs. which is sulfur smell.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and we're walking and walking, and it got so hot, and I'm telling her, you have to let me go. I'm going to start on fire. And she said the girl was really skinny, but she had such a tight grip. She was really strong. And she finally just, like, totally attacked this hybrid to let her go, and she broke free. And she said, I ran and ran for what seemed like forever. She said the air was so thick, she could barely breathe. And she finally came to her wall and broke through and jumped onto her bed and put the covers over her head. And there's just countless stories out there talking about the same kind of thing. People being taken to underground places, and also in near-death experiences, people are not always seeing at the end of their tunnel, you know, friends that have passed on. They're often seeing aliens at the end of their tunnel and being taken to a place not so heaven-like.
Okay, now Barbara, when she sent this email, she wanted to know if you've ever heard of tall white light beings, and if so, could you talk about them?
Light beings, tall white ones.
Light beings. I don't know.
Yeah, if they're the typical light beings that people are talk about, I don't know if they're particularly tall or not, but yeah, I have seen some like that. Actually, I've seen them at one of the places that some of my contacts and I don't know, it wouldn't be abductions, but alien journeys, I guess you could say. There are quite a few beings of light like that.
I don't quite understand. You know, you talk about shadow beings. Now we're talking
right.
about beings that are in the shape of white light. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, you could. They could take on different shapes of light, but usually a bright white, sparkly light.
The reason I brought this up at this mm-hmm. point is you were talking about, you know, going into the dark depths of hell.
Right.
And so this seemed like the opposite of it. Are these white light beings angels?
You know what? They have the same vibe, the same feel that comes off of them as being angelic or angel-like. And the place that I've been going to at times is very much like a heaven-like place.
And you've been going there with some white light beings, or what?
Yes, often with those kind of beings, and literally with people that, I mean, they look like regular people with the typical, like, stereotypical white long gowns and everything, in a crystal-like city, teaching different things that need to be done, and telepathy, and just I don't know, it's like a spiritual school of sorts. And, you know, I had my first recollections of this when I was a teenager, and I'm like, gosh, that place seems so real. I can't believe this. And it wasn't until I was about 20 years old, I went over to a friend's house, and there was a painting on the wall of this crystal city, and the buildings looked like ancient Roman buildings. I was like, oh, my God, who painted this? And my friend goes, oh, my father did. He says he goes there a lot in his dreams. So I was like, oh, okay. And I have since heard several people speak of the same place, and it's just, you know, just as real.
Well, what do they do? They sit around and play harps, or what?
No, actually, it's pretty intensive schooling that I go through when I'm there. I go into different buildings, and there's usually one large room inside of the crystal-like buildings, and I sit and I, amongst other students, and listen to some kind of spiritual instructor in the front of the classroom.
Have you noticed the other people there? Are they all from Earth, or?
You know what's strange? Usually when I come back with some kind of memories of the place, I don't pay attention to who's sitting next to me. I get so enthralled with what's being said. I mean, I walk into the room, my eyes never leave the front of the room looking at the instructor, and I just sit with, you know, blindly.
Yeah, these rooms, are they hot or cold or neutral? Or
The rooms?
Yeah. I mean, how do they feel? How do you feel in there?
You know, if I don't know, if love could be in a soup, It would be like a love soup in the air, I guess.
Then you're more emotionally, it's more of an emotional consciousness.
Yeah, it's really strange. I mean, just as real as, you know, the opposite end of things, you know, a hell-like place, there's a heaven-like place, too. And I honestly don't think this is the absolute paradise, either. I think this place I was talking about is some kind of a spiritual schooling, like I mentioned, that helps direct people to know what to do in certain instances. So, I don't know. Interesting.
Heidi Hollis tells about her experiences, and you'll have to admit, they're not dull.